You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, March 17, 2026. Big time. Exchange of barrels from USSPR would drop stocks to lowest level since the 1980s. Published by Jason Lindquist and Liz Dickin. The world has been closely watching the situation in the Middle East and its impact on energy markets since late February. U.S. and Israeli airstrikes on Iran have been followed by retaliatory strikes by Iran on several of its neighbors, including crude oil tankers in the critical Strait of Hormuz, causing oil prices to spike. As part of a global response, the U.S. said it would release 172 million barrels of crude oil from its Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR. In today's RBN blog, we detail the U.S.'s plans, examine how it compares with actions after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2022, and show why the reserve could drop to levels not seen since the Reagan administration. WTI crude oil at Cushing, Oklahoma, mostly traded in a $55 to $65 per barrel range in January and February, and settled at $67.02 per barrel on February 27, the last trading day before the attacks against Iran began. Prices have moved up steadily since then, reaching as high as $98.71 per barrel on March 13, up 47% from the start of the month, as the prospects for an extended campaign and disruption to global oil markets have appeared more likely, especially compared with the brief U.S. military action against Venezuela early this year. By comparison, WTI reached $123.70 per barrel in March 2022, not long after the invasion of Ukraine. To address growing concerns about global oil prices, the International Energy Agency, or IEA, announced March 11 that its 32 member countries, which include the U.S. and Canada, unanimously agreed to release up to 400 million barrels from their emergency reserves to help ease supply disruptions tied to the war in the Middle East. Canada pledged to contribute 23.6 million barrels of crude to the IEA's effort, but since it is a net exporter, it has no strategic reserve of its own. Energy Minister Tim Hodgson said Canada would meet the target through already planned production. As discussed in RBN's weekly crude billboard, IEA members collectively hold more than 1.2 billion barrels of emergency stockpiles, as well as an additional 600 million barrels of industry stocks held under government obligation. This is the sixth coordinated stock release in the agency's history and the largest on record, eclipsing its release of 182.7 million barrels in 2022. The IEA's goal is straightforward: to cool a fast-moving oil rally triggered by the Middle East conflict and the near-total shutdown of tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz to just 10% of pre-conflict levels. Flows through the Strait account for about 25% of total global seaborne oil trade and about 20% of global oil and petroleum product consumption, according to the Energy Information Administration, or EIA. In addition, around 20% of global LNG trade transits the Strait, primarily from Qatar, which shut in its LNG production on March 2 after an Iranian attack. Crude oil prices eased briefly after the IEA announcement, but many were waiting for the fine print about how quickly the barrels would reach the market, what the crude-to-products mix might look like. The IEA said March 15, the release would be 72% crude oil and 28% refined products, and how much the U.S. would aid the effort. Additional details came later on March 11, when U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright said the U.S. would contribute 172 million barrels, all of it crude oil, with releases expected to take about 120 days. The Department of Energy, or DOE, followed up its original statement on March 13, clarifying that the U.S.'s contribution would come in the form of an exchange, not a simple release of barrels into the market, and that it was seeking solicitations for a first exchange of up to 86 million barrels, with bids due by March 17. The difference between the two is significant. In a direct release, the DOE auctions SPR crude to the highest bidder through a request for proposals, or RFP, making it the simplest way to get barrels into the market. The U.S. has conducted only four emergency drawdowns in the SPR's history. The previously noted 2022 release, a 30 MMBBL release due to the loss of crude oil supply from Libya and elsewhere in 2011. This was part of a 60 million barrels release by the IEA, a 30 million barrels release after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and a 33.75 million barrels release during Operation Desert Storm in 1991. In addition, the SPR has occasionally performed test sales to ensure the SPR's readiness, The last was in 2014, and Congress can also mandate sales, often to raise funds during budget negotiations. The last was in the 2023 fiscal year. The SPR is not automatically replenished after a direct release. The exchange process, essentially a loan, is more complex. During an exchange, a refiner or other company borrows SPR crude during a supply disruption and agrees to return the same volume, plus a premium in additional barrels, at a later date, which shifts the long-term price risk from the government to the borrower. Exchanges can be initiated at a company's request to address localized, short-term logistical issues or used to address broad market crises, such as storm-related disruptions. As with a direct release, the process starts with the DOE issuing an RFP. The U.S. has opted to use exchanges far more often than direct releases, 17 times since 1991, the most recent being a 500,000 barrels exchange with ExxonMobil in 2025 due to logistical challenges affecting crude deliveries to the company's Baton Rouge, Louisiana, refinery. The net effect of an exchange is that SPR inventories rise over time because of the premium, and the government does not receive any cash proceeds. A U.S. release of 172 million barrels, regardless of how it's done, would be comparable in size to the Biden administration's 2022 drawdown, which began with a 30 million barrels withdrawal in late February 2022. About a month later, the U.S. said it would release another 180 million barrels of crude over 6 months, or about 1 million barrels per day. See, I want to break free, with some of those barrels included as part of the IEA release we just noted. U.S. reserves fell from 579 million barrels in February 2022 to 347 million barrels in July 2023, a drop of 232 million barrels, 40%, not including a 32 million barrels exchange in November 2021 intended to keep fuel prices under control. The SPR is maintained at four sites, Bryan Mound and Big Hill in Texas and West Hackberry and Bayou Choctaw in Louisiana. Oil is kept in underground salt caverns, 61 in all, with a total authorized capacity of 714 million barrels. According to the DOE, the crude oil reserve is always supposed to be drawdown ready, which means it can release barrels to the market within 13 days of presidential direction. That is the time needed to conduct the sale exchange process, award contracts, and arrange the logistics for oil transportation. The DOE estimates an additional 6 to 8 days of transit to ship barrels to Pad 1, East Coast, and 16 to 18 days to ship barrels to Pad 5, West Coast, with pipeline connections to Pad 1, Pad 2, Midwest, and the rest of Pad 3, Gulf Coast. SPR inventories moved slightly lower during the first Trump administration, with a notable surge in 2020 when the DOE temporarily turned the reserve into a storage outlet for producers during the height of the pandemic, when global demand fell sharply. Those barrels had to be returned to the companies by March 2021. As we just noted, volumes fell sharply during the Biden administration, mostly in response to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Inventories have moved steadily, but not sharply, higher since then, and additions have averaged about 350,000 barrels per week in the second Trump administration. So, with the U.S. planning another major release of crude, where will that leave the SPR? The SPR currently holds about 414 million barrels. The U.S. plans to release 172 million barrels, which Energy Secretary Wright said would take about 120 days. The DOE's initial RFP calls for 86 million barrels to be released from its Bryan Mound, 42 million barrels, West Hackberry, 34 million barrels, and Bayou Choctaw, 10 million barrels, sites in April and May, with the barrels to be returned later with minimum premiums of 18%, 19 to 22%, and 22% respectively. When all four SPR locations are in operation, their combined maximum drawdown rate is about 4.4 million barrels per day, but actual operations have been much lower. If we assume the first solicitation of 86 million barrels is released as anticipated in April and May, with the second batch to follow in June and July, that's 122 days, or 1.4 million barrels per day over 4 months, before leveling off until September. If drawdowns begin in the week ended April 3rd and can be managed at a quicker pace than the 2022 drawdown for a sustained period, which is not guaranteed, that would drop the SPR to 244 million barrels by the end of July, a decrease of 42% from current levels. The SPR's end-of-month inventories would be the lowest since they were at 241 million barrels in February 1982. The drawdown process might be complicated by the DOE's decision to opt for an exchange instead of a direct release. An exchange is more complicated because potential buyers must not only decide whether purchasing barrels from the SPR is a good choice today, in comparison to buying on the open market, They must also weigh what the price of crude might be when they have to return those barrels, with interest, to the SPR, along with the pace of the drawdown refill process. A potential borrower is betting that crude oil prices will be lower by the time the return process begins. The October WTI contract settled at $80.08 per barrel on March 13, or $18.73 per barrel below the prompt April contract. Energy Secretary Wright said in the DOE's March 11 statement that the U.S. would immediately begin rebuilding the reserve so it would be back at its current level within the next year, although the first RFP calls for barrels to be returned through September 2028. If the second RFP follows the same basic timeline, those barrels would be returned through November 2028. A return at that pace would get the SPR back to its current level of 414 million barrels around July 2028, and top out at roughly 499 million barrels by December 2028, thanks to the premium on the returned barrels. That process would return 244 million barrels to the reserve over a more than two-year period at an average of 269,000 barrels per day, which should be well within the SPR's capabilities under the longer return window. We should note that the pace of the return schedule will be determined by the RFP process. As we noted in Build Me Up Buttercup, one potential hindrance to a swifter refill is that the SPR was set up for quick drawdowns rather than quick refills, so each of the SPR's four sites can release barrels to the market much faster than they can add them. To release oil, the SPR pumps water or brine into the bottom of its salt caverns, displacing the lighter crude oil and forcing it up to the surface, a process that allows for rapid drawdowns. Refilling works in the opposite direction. Crude flows into the caverns while water brine is removed, but injection rates are constrained by cavern integrity and water brine handling logistics, making refilling much slower than withdrawals. The combined maximum fill rate for the four sites is 785,000 barrels per day. The cost of oil is also a factor in any discussion about the SPR. The lower the price, the easier it is for the government to justify buying crude and socking it away. This is where the DOE's decision to conduct an exchange rather than a direct sale could be a plus in minimizing the government's potential exposure to higher prices. If it had opted for a direct release and then refilled the SPR with newly purchased barrels, it might not have had the option to wait for lower prices, and adding back 172 million barrels would be an expensive proposition that would likely require congressional approval. DOE solicitations for SPR barrels are often completed several months before the barrels are delivered, so time would be a complicating factor as well. And it's worth noting that large-scale purchases by the U.S. could also push prices higher. The SPR is once again being asked to do what it was designed to do, cushion the market during a sudden supply shock. A 172 million barrels release will provide short-term relief to a market rattled by disruptions around the Strait of Hormuz but also push U.S. emergency inventories toward levels not seen in decades. By opting for an exchange of barrels instead of a direct release, the DOE is eliminating the need to buy back barrels to refill the SPR but also choosing a more complex process that might not have the same market impact as a direct release. We'll be watching to see how the RFP process proceeds. Big Time, written by Peter Gabriel, appears as the fourth single released from his highly successful fifth solo studio album, So. The song was produced by Daniel Lanois and Gabriel and released in February 1987. The tune's unique bass guitar sound was produced by bassist Tony Levin doing the fingering on the bass guitar while drummer Jerry Marotta hit the strings with his drumsticks, causing a percussive effect. Police drummer Stuart Copeland played drums and P.P. Arnold, Coral Gordon and D. Lewis sang backing vocals with Gabriel on the cut. The visual style of the Big Time video was similar to the one used on the mega-hit Sledgehammer, utilizing stop-motion claymation by David Daniels. The video was directed by Stephen R. Johnson and produced by Prudence Fenton. Big Time was Gabriel's second top 10 single and went to number 3 on the Billboard Album Rock Tracks chart and number 8 on Billboard's Hot 100. So was recorded at Real World Studios in England and released in May 1986. Daniel Lanois and Peter Gabriel shared production duties on the album. It went to number 2 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart and became Gabriel's best-selling album to date, certified 5X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Peter Gabriel is an English singer, songwriter, musician and record producer who initially rose to fame as the lead singer of British progressive rock band Genesis. After leaving that group in 1975, he has pursued a successful solo career. Gabriel made 6 albums with Genesis. As a solo artist, he has released 10 studio albums, 5 live albums, 4 soundtrack albums, 5 compilation albums and 46 singles. He has sold more than 16 million records worldwide. He has won 8 Grammy Awards, 4 BMI Awards, 3 Brit Awards, 3 Ivor Novello Awards and 13 MTV Video Music Awards. He still records and occasionally tours. His latest single, What Lies Ahead, was released on streaming platforms in March. He will continue releasing new songs on days that have a full moon, culminating in all the songs from his next LP, OI, being released at the end of 2026.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.